Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know. I'm going to tell you what
fourth quarter of the program begins right now. Coming up shortly, we'll talk Royals baseball with one David Leske. Inside the Crown, his great blog. He'll be with us in our next segment. Right now, though, time to give you what you need to know. Proudly brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires. Big O Tires, the brand you trusted. You know that they can even give you a ride home, Curtis.
Mm.
That's right.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. They got the shuttle service. They can take you right on home. Get up to $100 in rebates on select sets of Goodyear, Pirelli, and Bridgestone tires. Synthetic blend oil changes. They're just $24.99. More than tires. They service brakes, battery, shocks, struts, and a whole lot more, plus a multi-point vehicle inspection with every service. It's at Big O Tires, the team you trust. Make an appointment online right now at BigOTires.com. Let's start with a little Tyreek Hill, shall we?
Mm-hmm. The cheetah.
This is from the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast.
Yeah.
Was this a big one?
There's a lot of guys on that show.
Do they? Okay,
from what I've seen, yeah. They just this one happens to be in particular on where they were. They were just sitting out like in a paved driveway area in like lawn chairs, just talking. It's two guys and then
awesome.
The guest. It's pretty cool.
This is Tyreek Hill, who had high praise for Isaiah Pacheco, but wishes he had a different number.
Yeah, man, Kansas City got a real good running back, too.
Yeah, well, he's a dog. He run hard. He can run like old Roger Craig.
But you can hear and see every step he take. That would be so hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I did feel disrespected when they gave him 10, though. I ain't like that.
You ain't like
it's
that?
It's only 110 now.
It's only 110.
It should be only 110 in your heart, man.
Yeah, that's Trent Green. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a guy that's under contract here. I mean, I think he's mostly playing around.
Yeah, I think he is.
But when he's on his podcast or another one, doesn't the subject of the Chiefs come up a lot?
It does. And sometimes it's probably brought to him, but he didn't shy away from it.
Like, you're not going to get over her if all you do is sit around staring at her picture.
Right.
Now, granted, the NFL shoves the Chiefs photo in front of your face because they're two-time defending champs.
And he had to look at their picture for at least three very cold hours, as you'll hear about in this
next
book.
Have to be hard to take.
It does.
Like when you left, you go, they're not going to win without me. You can't win without me.
Yeah.
Well, fine. They can back ass into one without me, but you ain't winning two without me.
When you break up with her, and then they
screw
get
it.
Hot. They stay, get even hotter, and you're like, hey, dude, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
And, you know, it's got to be tough for him to deal with.
I mean, sure it is.
Because you don't get to be as good as he is without being a really competitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the Chiefs have this success.
And he's been great in Miami. They just haven't. Been for one, they had to run into the Chiefs one time, and another time they just weren't that good a team, and their quarterback had an issue.
It wouldn't surprise me if to this day, on the topic of the competitive part, if to this day, as long as the Bulls continue to stay meh to just bad, I'm sure MJ, who meant more to that run than Tyreek meant to the Chiefs, but I'm sure he still gets a smirk on his face. And I'm sure he did early when he left, too.
Yeah. I mean, but this is reversed.
If they'd won one title and he left and they went and won two more without it being like, what? I guess it wasn't you, was it, huh?
All right, one more from Tyreek Hill. Said it takes more than just physical strength to survive in the NFL.
If you're not strong enough mentally to be able to deal with the ups and downs of the league, it'll break you. It'll break you, man, from the fans, from the meeting room with the coaches calling you out in front of other guys, because a lot of guys aren't used to that. A lot of guys aren't used to sitting inside of a meeting room, being the best player on their team their whole entire life, and then a coach saying, bro, you suck this play,
bro. You ever had somebody say that to you?
Oh, yeah, this year, Miami Dolphins.
What happened?
Like, the play against Snead, the Chiefs, everybody see this play against the Chiefs?
Yeah.
I'm into the flow. He called me out. He like, Reek, bro, you supposed to be the best player in the league, and you got this guy putting hands all over you like that. This man, we pay you all this money for what? And for me, I love that, because I'm going to take that to heart, and I'm gonna get better from it. That'll never happen again to me in my life, man. You feel me? If a mother not hold me accountable, I feel like I'm not going to be able to get better. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, the coaches can bypass that, you know what I'm saying, and just be like, he'll get better from it. But if he's not saying nothing, like, the other guys in the locker room, they're going to look at it as, oh, if Reed can do it, I can do it. And that's not getting the team better.
Pretty good words. I mean, the sentiment he's trying to put out there. Yeah, it's I want, you know, that's the way I want to be treated. He's just sitting there talking with two guys. You can hear his kids in the background. So, by the way,
look at this. I think you understand why the Chiefs are like, yes, we can work with this guy.
Yes,
right. When he came out, first of all, I think they did their due diligence and came up with what we would all later hear later that questions the original reason he was in trouble at Oklahoma State. Not that it erases everything. It was obviously a bad, toxic situation and would go on to be a toxic situation later in his life. But, like, you see, you hear the football part.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Football is important.
Yes.
And he is accountable. And he is, like,
and
admitting to being beaten. Yeah. And, like, you can't, you know, you can't fix a problem unless you admit you got a problem.
Yeah. And the day after that play, everyone was tweeting that play, and he quote tweeted, it was like, and that guy, what do you say? He blocked me, or he something me all the way to some island or something. I can't think of where it was.
Yeah.
The Bahamas or someplace. And you do hear a lot of that. Not only the acceptance of that type of coaching and type of treatment, but, like, I want that. I'm not going to get better if I don't get that treatment. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you hear the football side that they're like, okay, yeah. Let's go. And why Mike McDaniel was like, and he's, by the way, been brilliant for the Dolphins. The Dolphins not winning a Super Bowl is not because Tyreek Hill sucks.
No. He's been, at least, he's been better than I think even the biggest Dolphins fan could have hoped for. Because I didn't think he would have those kind of numbers with Tua. And I think he'll go there and he'll, you know, I think the thought the first season was, well, in week 10, when he's getting underthrown on deep balls, you're going to see him be a little angry. Never happened. And last year, I mean, he was on a path for 2,000 yards. So, it hadn't been Tyreek.
One other NFL note. The Broncos have fixed the quarterback position. If you're just getting into your car and you don't have a smartphone and you haven't realized that it's all solved in Denver because the Jets have traded quarterback Zach Wilson to the Broncos. Wilson, who went number 2 overall in the 21 draft, goes to the Broncos with a 7th for a 6th.
That's the in vogue move, a player in a 7th for a 6th. Happened about half a dozen times last year.
The Jets will also eat half of the $5.5 million due this year to Zach Wilson.
That didn't work out for them.
No.
They wanted him out of that locker room.
You take a guy 2 overall, and 3 years later, almost to the day, you're getting back a 6th, and you're paying half of his salary. Not the way they hit him.
He must have said something nice about vaccines, and the Jets said, there's no place for that in our backfield.
And that was a draft pick that was designed to make it for the 1-2 years before that they blew.
It speaks to the idea of, like, last year you maybe could have got a little more for him. But no, we don't want to give, like, Aaron's only going to be here for 2 or 3 years. Maybe he'll come around. Maybe we won't look stupid if, like, Aaron can whisper in his ear the secret to quarterbacking. Like, just be done with it. You blew his career up.
You should have traded him the day after the Chiefs game.
Yeah. I mean,
3 touchdown passes. Come get him. Because we ain't winning with that performance. We ain't winning.
No.
Line up.
A little bit of college news. Mizzou said to be finalizing a deal to hire Memphis AD Laird Veach to be the new athletic director at Missouri. Veach has been at Memphis since 2019. Also worked at Florida, K-State, Iowa State, and Texas. He was also at Mizzou from 97 to 02. He replaces Desiree Reed-Francois, who left for Arizona back in February. The only thing that's... Listen, congrats. This is a guy that Gabe DeArmond spoke highly of, so sounds like it's a good hire on paper. Certainly looks like a good hire, so congratulations to Missouri fans. And in the end, if you got the right guy, what does it matter? You waited 2 months. Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it really doesn't. But it does, I think, at least beg the question, what took him so long to either offer him or for him to say yes?
Right.
They have a bunch of other people that told him no. I kind of don't think so. So did he have a bunch of things he wanted before he said yes?
Could be. Could be. I wouldn't doubt it. He had at least a couple of things to take a job like to make a lateral move, power structure-wise.
And I suppose there's one other option.
To a better conference.
Mizzou is starting a trend of till the year's over, the whole athletic year's over. Or predominantly over. I know baseball and softball are still going on, but there's no need to rush right out. Like, there isn't anything for them to do. Maybe this will be the new trend. I don't think so. I think Mizzou maybe, and listen, maybe it's the best order of business. They needed to get their house in order.
Yeah.
You know, all right, let's get this committee thing worked out. Listen, I told you I was told by some folks that the committee was formed because they were questioning some of the spending practices of Desiree Reed-Francois. But so if that's what it was for, all right, you build it, you got this committee, now we got to take it apart. Because we don't think we need it on the next guy. Or, here, let's first figure out how this is going to evolve moving forward when we're not a watchdog agency. Or, do we need this? Is this what, you know, hey, we got ourselves out of a bad situation? I don't know. But it's just a little, it's just not the norm. That's all.
Right. Oh, absolutely not the norm.
We'll hopefully talk a little bit more about this later on in the week. Umpire Hunter Wendelstedt, one of the more known umpires out there, he threw out Yankee manager Aaron Boone this afternoon, despite the fact that it was a fan who yelled at Wendelstedt, not Boone. During the argument, Wendelstedt could be heard saying, "I don't care who said it. You're out." Yankees lost to the A's 2-0. There is video from like the opposing dugout where you can see Aaron Boone with his, like, they had said something to Boone like enough, and Boone's just sitting there. And there's a guy in like the second row behind the dugout who barks something at Wendelstedt, and Wendelstedt turns and goes, "You're out." And it's clearly not Boone.
He'll get a letter or an email from Major League Baseball apologizing for their stupidity, but didn't help him today.
No.
I wonder if the fan behind him was like, "I bet I can get this guy tossed out. Watch this."
Dude, everybody looked at the fan like, "Oh, that's awesome."
Wait, were they in New York or Oakland or wherever the A's are playing these days?
Yeah, I don't even know. Baseball tonight, Royals and Blue Jays. Blue Jays -116 favorites against the Royals. You got to get -102, so pretty even game. 6:40 first pitch. Brady Singer for the Royals. You say Kikuchi.
I say Kikuchi. Let's call the whole thing off.
You say Kikuchi. 1-1 with 208. You say Kikuchi. I just feel like I should not be allowed to say that on the radio.
I know.
You say Kikuchi.
Pretty good pitcher.
Yeah,
has
very
been
good.
This year as well. What was he with before Toronto? Mr. Baseball, did you have amazing? He's still pitching, so he obviously has been hurt, so it wasn't on one of your fantasy.
Toronto is his first stop in the big leagues, isn't it?
I thought he was up somewhere else.
Or Seattle, if I'm wrong, Seattle.
Yeah, it's like he was somewhere else. I could have just looked it up instead of asking you, but I felt compelled to ask.
If only one of us had a device.
Well, I know since
you held all the answers.
Since you're one, you're in a very intense rotisserie league, and you just come off, you know, a week or so from your two auctions, you might have had that top of mind. So, I just figured I'd play the odds and see if maybe you knew it offhand.
I was right. Seattle.
Good work. See, I knew you'd know.
28-30.
You said
our age is 23. 19-21. Back in 1928.
He's been
2019-21 with the M's, and then last 3 years with the J's. So, some NBA nuggets for you as well. Playoff action tonight. Magic at Cavs, game two. Cleveland 5.5-point favorites. That one's on NBA TV, where Magic and Cavs should be.
Yes.
Let's hide this one over here.
Let's put this one over here on NBA TV. No one watches.
Sixers at Knicks, however, at 6:30, game two. That's on TNT.
Knicks are the team I'm rooting for in the East.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love the Knicks back when the Ewing Starks days, because they almost took down the Bulls. So I'm back to rooting for the Knicks again. I'm not a Fairweather fan or anything.
The Knicks are a 5.5-point favorite in that one. Lakers at Nuggets, the nightcap, 9 o'clock on TNT. Nugs. Laying 7.
Baby fresh Nugs.
We had Mark Carmen on earlier during the two-minute drill, and we did not ask him about, like, is this fixed and solved now? We know where the Bears are going to play.
The Bears have sent out an announcement, public announcement.
After we had Carmen on.
Right, naturally. For a new stadium and additional green and open space. Says the Bears, in collaboration with city officials and stakeholders, will host a press conference on Wednesday, April 24th, to announce their plans for a state-of-the-art, publicly owned, enclosed stadium, along with additional green and open spaces with access to the lakefront for families and fans on the museum campus.
It's a cool spot.
It is a very cool spot.
Parking, no one in Kansas City will ever go, because parking will not be convenient.
No, but it's a great walk along the, you can go all of these
walk?
Places.
Where am I going to park? You're talking about walk. Where do I park?
Yeah, this place does love to park.
We love our parking. And as Adam pointed out, we cannot wait until 2026, when the world descends upon Kansas City, and we're able to show them our vast...
Look at all this.
Look before you. See parking as far as the eye can see.
My God, what is this place used for? We park here about 5 hours once a week every fall.
Every great city is
barbecue
known for something.
Upstairs.
Every other week.
Yeah.
We're not the city of fountains. We're the city of parking.
Yeah. We love our parking. There's not going to be parking down there.
No.
But
you will have to use your feet.
And you did say publicly funded.
That's what it said. Publicly owned.
Okay.
Does that mean publicly funded?
Well, I don't think the owner's paying for it and then giving it to the city. So.
They get something over on that.
I was wondering if there's some kind of
$4 billion.
Yeah, some kind of
just
chicanery.
Here you go, Chicago.
Some kind of a chicanery. They go, oh, I didn't say it publicly.
Do you hear the questions?
I did.
That come out of your mouth?
But legal things. Oh, we didn't say fund. We said owned. I'm just making sure. I'm trying to make sure I check every word.
I'm just glad Adam had the exact same reaction I did.
Yes.
I do know what you're saying. Like, oh, does this mean that, like, well, it's going to be privately funded? Or it says publicly owned. Publicly
owned.
I'm assuming they're building it for them.
Maybe that's a way the Chiefs and Royals can get people on board. Don't say publicly funded. Yeah. Say publicly owned.
Oh, you'll own it.
You'll own it.
It's yours.
Can I go by any time and walk inside?
Anytime you want.
You can't.
Anytime.
You'll own the place, but we have the keys.
You want to make that your new home? Make it your new home. Because you own it.
You own it.
You got to find out, like, how many people is there in Jackson County?
I looked this up.
400,000, 200,000, 500,000.
Today's your day. You want to hang out? Yeah, come on over. Today's my day at the at Arrowhead.
I mean, just like, does everybody have a little square that's theirs? You can live right here on this square. It's the size of a brick that people pay money to, you know, pay tribute to their relatives who are fans of the club. That's how big a space you get. What'd you get?
I got the spinny wheel of death is what I got initially.
$716,000. Okay. As of 2022. I think you could fit that into the Truman Sports Complex.
I think you could, yes.
So there you go.
They just all stood around. But then where would anybody park?
Is the dream over of a Royals competitive season after they dropped 2 out of 3 to the Baltimore Orioles? We'll ask that hard-hitting question to our next guest, David Lesky, from Inside the Crown. He joins us next.
He's taken Larry King to a Prince concert. He's eaten Dairy Queen while watching a Duke game.
Certainly Duke and Duke.
He's seen the Princess Bride with his friend Earl.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, it's safe to say he's obsessed with the Royals. From Inside the Crown, it's David Lesky on the program.
David Lesky is brought to you by Gann Asphalt and Concrete, Kansas City's nationally recognized full-service paving and pavement maintenance contractor, making parking lot problems disappear in Kansas City since 1994. Free consultations, no commissions, in-house crews, and every project comes with a written warranty. Find them online at GannAsphalt.com or call 816-484-3338.
Royals dropped 2 out of 3. Let's talk about it with one David Lesky from Inside the Crown. David, have you gotten over the sorrow of the Royals losing a series?
You know, I've been crying all day, and I don't have any tears left. So
you're all this is,
I'm just a shell of myself.
Listen, is it just, we just chalk it up to, guess what, the Orioles are good and the Royals are still a work in progress?
Yeah. I mean, I think the Orioles are better than the Royals. The Royals played them tight. I mean, you go back to the series in Baltimore, they played them tight. It wasn't just this weekend. The Orioles are just better, which is not what you want, but it's okay. That's fine. I mean, they won 100 games last year. That's a really good team. Look at that lineup. When you got Jordan Westberg hitting eighth, that's really deep. I mean, we talked about, hey, the Royals, Nelson Velasquez hitting sixth is really good because he was hitting fourth last year. Nelson Velasquez would be the number 9 hitter in that lineup if he cracked it. I mean, that's a heck of a team. And the Royals just aren't there yet.
No, and I think one of the other things they did was they did win a game, right? That's one of the things that's been part of the Orioles' success. It's been some, like, ridiculous streak of consecutive series that the Orioles haven't been swept, right?
It's and 96 or something like that.
And so when you, like, get at least 1 out of 3, you're not losing that much ground in the standings. And so I know when you look at it, you're like, oh, God, now we're 3 games behind the Guardians. The Guardians are beating up on the A's. The Royals will get their games against the A's as well, right? And they got theirs against the White Sox. But the Guardians' schedule has been pretty easy as well, and it just continued. Yeah. They've got to take on Boston next, starting tomorrow night. But so they'll have some tough games as well. But, yeah, not only is it like, hey, okay, the O's are maybe the best team in the American League, so no shame in losing to them. But you also made sure that this wasn't like last year where you just get drummed.
Right. And, I mean, look, they've lost 2 in a row now twice this year. It's 22 games in. Their longest losing streak is 2 games, and it's happened twice. There's no way you can look at this and say, oh, well, what a disaster, right? I mean, it's just, they're, like you said, they're winning enough. And, I mean, they obviously have the 7-game winning streak, but to be able to limit the losing streaks, that's the first step, I feel like. I mean, I remember, think back to 2013, they had that 8-20 May, and they finished 86-76. And I just kept thinking, if they could have gone 14-14 in May, they win 92 games and make the playoffs. How do they make an 8-20 month a 14-14 month? And you do that by not getting swept. You do that by winning 1 game in a series that you're the second best team. You do that by stealing a win here and there, and that's what they've done so far. And they won the one in Baltimore, too, in the middle of the series. Actually, both started by Alec Marsh, which is weird. But they've by winning those games, they're figuring out how to make 8-20, 14-14.
That's the glass half full part. The glass half empty. the lineup is becoming a problem. There's a lot of holes, particularly in the leadoff and down at the bottom. It's pretty good, 2 through 6, but there's a problem at the top. Let's start there. Michael Garcia, just live with it and let him fight through it, or do you have a solution as to who else could bat at the top?
So I look at Michael Garcia, and I kind of think about Vinny Pasquantino and his first 10 games that were so bad. And there's a big difference, because in Vinny Pasquantino's first 10 games, he had, I think it was 5 walks and 5 strikeouts. He was still making the right decisions. He just wasn't getting – his timing was just off. It was very clear that, okay, this isn't a swing at the wrong pitches thing. This is a – he's got to figure some things out. And I was all for flipping him and Melendez, because Melendez was hot. They didn't do it. Obviously, it worked out just fine for them. The problem with Michael Garcia, since he stopped hitting, and, I mean, yeah, it's funny because everybody talked about, okay, he went 2 for 2 in the first against Houston that one day and then didn't get a hit for a week. And that's all well and good. But it goes back even farther. He really only hit for the first week of the season. And since then, he has walked – I have it up right now. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4 – it's just 4 – no, 5 times and struck out – something like 13 times. It's not – the decisions he's making are poor. And they talk about it on the broadcast. Ryan's mentioned this a couple of times, that it was he's in that mode of he's swinging at balls and taking strikes. And right now he's just a mess. And so I wouldn't leave him at the top of the lineup, because it's different than Vinny Pasquantino's struggles. So I don't know where you go is part of the problem, because – You're not going to move Vinny Pasquantino up. I don't think Bobby Witt Jr., I think he showed last year, he does not like to hit in the leadoff spot. Is it MJ Melendez? Maybe, but he's slumping as – I mean, he looked better since the home stand started, but he was slumping as bad as Michael Garcia. Do you plug Michael Massey in there now that he's back? I mean, you could, but he's got a sub 300 on base. I don't know if it's for his career, but last year he was. I mean, they just don't have a lot of options right now, and – if I were going to do it, I'd say Melendez, because he'll take some pitches. But that's an issue for them. They could use somebody different at the top. And I think Michael Garcia is fine as a leadoff hitter in general. But while he's working through this, I don't think he should be up there.
Do you think we're going to see Drew Waters or Prado ever make an impact on this team?
I never say never, right? Weirder things have happened. I would say Waters before Prado, because Prado's not even hitting at Omaha anymore. He had those first, like 3 or 4 games where he hit really well. And then the numbers, they've fallen back. He's got a couple home runs over the last week, so maybe I'm not being fully fair to him. But he's just not hitting well enough to be considered good, given the position he plays. And the guy in front of him, in Pasquantino, who is also playing outstanding defense, at least by the metrics. So where does Prado fit? I don't know. Waters has an easier path, because Kyle Isbell's not hitting. And Isbell's a great defender. I don't think anybody would argue that. But at some point, you've got to hit a little bit. If he hits like he did in the second half, you're fine with his defense. But he's not. He's not hitting half that well. And what he hit in the second half last year wasn't great. It's just that he's a good enough defender that you can deal with it. But where Drew Waters has the advantage is that Kyle Isbell's hitting so poorly that at some point you're going to have to make that move. And I don't know what the disciplinary issue was that got him pulled last week, whatever Thursday, Wednesday, whatever day that was. But because of that, I don't know that you're going to promote him within a week of it, because that kind of looks like you're rewarding it. But also, you're trying to win games, and he's hitting 328, 411, 547 in Triple A, and he's not even striking out that much anymore. So, at some point, you got to do it. You got to bring the guy up and make Kyle Isbell a fourth outfielder, or even send him to Triple A for a couple weeks to try to figure some things out. So, I would say if one of the two, it's Waters. I don't know. It's hard to see, though. It's hard to see because they're. Maybe I'm being too impatient, but if they haven't sent Isbell down, or if they haven't brought Waters up to play over Isbell yet, when are they going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, and that's well. I mean, I think are they waiting because if Isbell goes down, that's last rights.
Yeah, maybe. And also, look, it's 22 games, so Are we falling prey to the it's too fast, or are we saying, hey, you're trying to win, so you have to make quick decisions? I don't know. I don't know where the answer is there. But I kind of tend to think you got to make the move when you got to make the move, especially guys go through ebbs and flows, right? Take advantage of him being hot right now. And I know that you'll hear people say, well, hot streaks and cold streaks are a myth. It's every at bat is the same probability. That's not true, especially when you get in your head mentally. So I don't know. I'd make the move. And, yeah, I think you might be right that if you send Isbell down, he might have one more shot, if that. And maybe they don't want to – maybe they're not ready to make that move just yet.
The lineup for today, Garcia, again, at the leadoff spot. Witt, Pascutino, Perez, Velasquez, Renfro, and then Hampson in center, Massey at second, Blanco in left with Brady Singer making the start for the Royals. So he's back in there in that leadoff spot. I'm with you, and that's the thing is, like, you know, you want to be like, well, what can we do? And Drew Waters is probably the closest thing. You said he's not striking out that much. It's still over 20%.
It's been a lot better. He had a rough stretch to start, and it's been really, really good for the last 10 or 12 games. But it's also only 10 or 12 games, and his history is striking out, so who knows?
Yeah, that's – but listen, that's it.
Yeah.
That is literally – who else – him and Lofton are the depth in the minors for position players. That's it.
Right. I'll disagree a little bit with that, and maybe the Royals disagree with me. I really like Devin Mann, who they got for Ryan Yarbrough, and I'm not saying he's a savior. I'm not saying he's 27 years old in AAA, but he's consistently putting up high on-base percentages in the minors. And so I think there's a little more depth down there that's not on the 40-man, but all that said, it's still not much. So, yeah, there's the depth is in the lower levels, but, yeah, they're – I got to figure some things out at the big league level.
Do they like Devin Mann?
You know, I thought they did. and because back in, when is it, November, that they make the 40-man decision? Yes, November. A couple people mentioned that they thought he was going to make it. And I wrote an article back then, and I didn't have him in there. And I ran it by a couple people, and they go, oh, I'd put him in. I think he's going to get put on the 40-man, and then he wasn't. So, the Royals do a really good job of knowing who is and isn't going to get selected in the Rule 5. So maybe they just had a really – they wanted to keep that roster spot, and they do like me. I don't know. But I look at the track record. I mean, if you look at his on-base percentages, 2022 in AA and AAA, 380. 2023, it was all AAA between the Royals and Dodgers, 387. This year, it's 393. I don't know that he can play every day because I don't know if he – doesn't hit righties well or whatever, although he's been fine against righties this year. But that's a guy, I'd rather have him than Garrett Hampson. I'd rather have him than Adam Frazier, probably. I know the other man is not a great defender, but he can play all over the field. You can stick him in left field. You can stick him in right. You can stick him in first, second, probably third. He's interesting to me. Cam Devaney, also very similar to Mann, and they got him for Taylor Clark from the Brewers, and he's got a 342 on base this year in Omaha. I don't know, they have some options. It's just they're not great options.
what a difference a week makes. While we're kind of talking about options, you know, he's not an option for now, but all of a sudden Blake Mitchell, again, it's early for him, but I think this is a really important pick for them to get right. When you barrel right down the path of don't do this, and you do it anyway, when everyone's telling you don't take a prep catcher, and you do it anyway, you need to be right.
Yeah.
Right? And now his slash, 292, 469, 500.
That looks good. And it's after a really rough start with strikeouts. He's walking a ton. He's showing power. I talked to – I've been trying to put something together, and every time I write it, I look at it and go, this sample is just too small. I need to wait. And it's stuff that I've heard from scouts. And one who saw him last week when he was hitting said, you know, I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world when they took him over Kyle Teal. I get it now. And I was like, well, does that mean that you would – do it yourself? And he said, no, I'd still take Teal, but I get it. I totally understand what they saw in him because this is a strong, strong kid. And he thought, look, Blake Mitchell could easily finish the year in double A, which if he gets to double A in his age 19 season, I mean, you got to hit in the majors. You can't have a great minor league career for it to be a good pick. But if he gets a double A this year, that's trending in the right direction.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll give you a couple pieces of bad news, though. Blake Walters, who they gushed over all spring training, or at least in my conversations, I guess I shouldn't say all spring training, but he's had two starts. He's got an ERA of 4.50 and a WHIP of 1.50. But you know they're he's in Columbia right now, and he's getting his first taste. But there's a lot of hype around him, you know, maybe being something special very early. Couple of starts, only 8 innings, so it's early on for him. But then one that's not so early is Gavin Cross. Oh, it's that Rocky Mountain fever. We figured it out. He got bit by a tick. 229, 315, 313. No homers. 627 OPS. That has not started to hit yet.
No, well, you know, it's funny because he – the same night that Massey and Waters left the game early in Omaha, so did Cross in Double A. And a lot of people at that time thought, are they promoting him? Because he was hitting really well. He's 0 for his last 9 with a walk and 3 strikeouts. But, and this is how small the sample is, obviously. But heading into that game, he'd had a hit in every game but one, I think, with 4 or 5 doubles, a good number of walks, not a ton of strikeouts, and was looking really good. And I guess what happened, I don't know if he got stepped on, but he hurt himself diving back to first on a pickoff throw, which I think he got stepped on. And he, since he's come back, it hasn't been good. Sample small, obviously. You just want to see some power from him, though, because it's not there at all. And I just pulled it up, those 10 games before. Before that, he was hitting 282, 364, 385. Again, the slugging's not there, but that's much better, at least. And he was apparently looking better. I hadn't seen him at all. I haven't seen a Northwest Arkansas game this year myself. It's kind of hard to find. But, yeah, he's a little bit snake bit, and he's got to get going. Because the issues the Royals have, the biggest one that I think can take the team to the next level is if they can find a very good center fielder, a very good hitting center fielder. That could transform the team, I feel like. And their best bet is Gavin Cross, and he's just not hitting. So where do they turn? I don't know.
Yeah, that is the question. And there's nothing to replace the bottom of the lineup, right?
Not right now. I mean, Michael Massey theoretically should help, but again, he hasn't done it. We all looked at Michael Massey, and everybody was excited about him coming back because he had a good spring, and he worked all winter, I think, with Bobby Witt Jr. He spent a lot of time with him and in that hitting program and all that. But also, Michael Massey hasn't done it yet. So at some point, you're what your baseball card says you are, and what his baseball card says he is a below-average hitter. I think there's more to it, and so he can be a big help. But, yeah, we got to see it first. So I don't know. I don't know how they improve the bottom of that lineup, except for, you know, there are worse things than if Hunter Renfroe can be somewhere between 2022 and 2023, which is a big ask for a guy who's probably on the downswing, hitting eighth. There are worse things. If Kyle Isbell can figure it out, or they bring up Drew Waters or whatever in the ninth spot, that can work. But, I mean, you're asking for some things that might be pretty difficult to accomplish.
Alec Marsh, real quick, how giddy are you about the start that he had and the start in general that he's put together this year?
It's been great to see because he's very clearly targeted throwing strikes. And to the detriment of strikeouts, which that's not great, but hopefully he can kind of add those back in. We've seen guys kind of go back to basics and then start to build on that. He's looked good. And the start on, what day was it, Friday? Yeah, Friday when he pitched well against the Orioles, he looked great. I look back to his start against the Mets when he gave up three in the first and then settled down. I don't think he settled down last year. I think he's out of there in the third inning last year, and he got through five with only one more run allowed in that game. He's clearly different this year. I still don't know if he's good enough, but he's clearly different and better, and that's encouraging.
Let's get to our final four with David Lesky. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get care from the experts, the Royals Trust, to make the right call. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/royals. I'll give you an NFL draft version here. A couple of questions from the NFL draft. Real quick, how much NFL draft will you watch?
More than my wife will be happy about. Probably quite a bit. I love the draft.
I do too. Yes, more than wife wants is my answer as well. NFL NFL Network or ESPN?
I put back and forth, but I tend to veer toward NFL Network. But then once you flip sometimes at a commercial, you forget to flip back, and you're on it for a couple hours, and then it gets ugly.
Draft food is what?
Same as game food. It's wings, nachos. You got to make it feel like it's a football environment.
Okay. And finally, Cole Reagans will or will not bounce back with his next start?
Yeah, he will. That was an anomaly. He's good.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me, too. We're always good when we're talking to you, David. We appreciate the time, buddy. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ren.
All right. David Lesky does a great job. Not only a lot of stuff, high quality stuff at Inside the Crown. Check it out. If you are a Royals fan, it is a must read for you. Check it out right now. David Lesky joins us every Monday here on the program.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the good sense, end of the hour answer. With at least 1,500 career plate appearances, two players have a .300 career batting average for the Toronto Blue Jays, who are in town tonight. I asked for either one.
John Olerud.
Nope.
Paul Molitor.
Paul Molitor is number one at .315. This guy's at .307.
.307.
He has about 3,000 career plate appearances.
Give me a clue.
Base. Second base.
Robbie Alomar. Nailed it.
Third on the list, Frank Catalanato.
Who knew?
.299. I didn't even know he played for the Blue Jays. Third best career batting average in Jays history.
Giving away
Good Sense.
Good Sense. GoodSenseSubs.com. Order it right now on the app. Don't forget party tray time, as it's time to order for those graduation parties. Good Sense can cater for you. Of course, they're wonderful freshly sliced sub trays, but also the fresh baked cookie trays, family sized pastas, gourmet meatball slider kits. Good Sense makes catering easy, and right now you can save $5 off any large catering tray or family sized pasta with code WHB. G5. Make sure you use that code WHBG5 and you can save $5 on your catering. Looks like somebody has got a development going on. May not be
they
the
do.
Royals, may not be the Chiefs, but somebody's building something.
KC Current unveiled plans today for a roughly 20-acre mixed-use district next to their stadium along the Missouri Riverfront. Initial phase will cost more than $200 million in private investment, will consist of. The overall project will take a decade and amount to an $800 million investment. Private investment.
Right down on the riverfront, you know, Kansas City is one of the few towns that riverfront, and maybe the Missouri River here in Kansas City is much more volatile, but they're talking about building right down on the river, which is prime real estate in every other metropolitan area, but hasn't really been developed here. Well, the Current are developing it now, so look out.